Well, aloha, Mission Church. If you are a guest with us, my name is Gordon. I get the great privilege to serve as pastor here. And by using this beautiful greeting of aloha, you probably guessed I'm from Canada. Just kidding. I'm from Hawaii. And what a warm way to welcome each other, especially as it's been so beautiful lately. The sun's been shining. It's been so good. So wonderful. We are continuing in our sermon series called The Lord's Prayers. And over the past 2 weeks, and including today, we're going to be looking at the prayers that Jesus prayed while hanging on the cross. And there's so much for us to learn and understand as we move closer to Easter, as we journey through Lent. And my prayer is, again, that today's message would form and fashion our hearts in preparation for Easter to come. The two scriptures that we're going to look at today of Jesus' prayers on the cross are found in John chapter 19, verse 30, and in Luke 23:46. They'll both be on the screen, so you don't have to turn there. But if you do have your Bibles, I invite you to turn and stick your finger in Psalm 22, just as a reference, as we make reference to that. And so in John chapter 19, verse 30, hear the word of the Lord today. And when he, Jesus, had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And so that's the first passage today, one of Jesus' last prayers as he was hanging on the cross. The second comes from Luke 23:46. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he said this, he breathed his last. And so here we have pretty much the two final prayers of Jesus. Which one came first? I'm not sure. They're found in different gospels. And both, though, are prayers of Jesus. Now, in John's gospel, his prayer was, "It is finished." And from last Sunday's sermon, if you were here last Sunday, there's a beautiful connection with Jesus quoting from Psalm 22 while hanging on the cross. We talked about that last Sunday. As I've done more research, I've read a few things I'm not sure of, but I'll throw it out to you and tell you that some biblical scholars believe that Jesus quoted the whole of Psalm 22 while hanging on the cross. And I can understand why the gospel writers didn't write the whole thing. It would be a reprise of Psalm 22 that was already previously written. But the reason why some scholars believe that is because in Matthew 27:46, as we preached from last Sunday, Jesus' prayer on the cross was, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And those are the first words of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And Psalm 22 ends in verse 31, if you have your Bibles open there. And this is what it says in verse 31. "They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it." And that phrase, "he has done it," mirrors beautifully John 19:30, when Jesus says, "It is finished." And so some of the theological scholars believe that he might have quoted the whole thing there. In the Amplified Bible, it kind of records it in much the same way. In the Amplified Bible, it says, "They will come and declare his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it, and it is finished." And so, you know, whether or not Jesus quoted all of Psalm 22, we don't know. But I thought it was just so interesting to share that little bit of information with you. And I believe that when he said that it is finished, there was so much more to those three words than we really understand. When Jesus said that it is finished, The first thing that I think you and I think about is that his life on earth is done. He's hanging on the cross, breathing his last breaths, heartbeat pounding the last beats. And with that, he says, it is finished. And every time I read it growing up, that's always the way I interpreted what Jesus meant when he said it is finished. His physical life on earth is about to come to an end. He's about to die on the cross. And in his last breath, he says, it is finished. And it is true that that is exactly what happened. But I want you to know that that understanding of it is finished falls so short if all we think is that his life is done on earth. And that's what he meant when he said that it is finished. Because there is so much more depth to what Jesus was talking about when he said that it is finished. Jesus accomplished so much more on the cross. And so let me just share with you some of the other things that were completed on the cross. Along with his life on earth that was done, the fulfillment of prophecies that spoke about Jesus' birth, his life, and his death. All of the prophecies in the Old Testament are done. Jesus says, they've come to an end in this moment. And when you think back to all, I mean, there's more than I can share with you, but I'll share a few of those wonderful prophecies of Jesus that were foretold in the Old Testament, that talked about his birth, his life, even his death. And even in this moment that Jesus is praying this prayer that it is finished, there's amazing things. Now, look at John 19:28. This is how we know that the fulfillment of the prophecies are complete. It says this in verse 28. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. Jesus, knowing everything was done, it's finished, and his last words even are the fulfillment of a prophecy. And the prophecies of his birth, I'll give you an example, in Isaiah 7:14, foretelling of Jesus' birth, says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. Wow, that came to pass. And then, as Jesus was living his life and how he would be treated, Isaiah 53:3 says, he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. And again, we see that happening in Jesus' life. Again and again, scripture after scripture, when we read of the Old Testament prophecies of Jesus, it all comes to this moment. And then while hanging on the cross, Jesus quotes, well, he fulfills Psalm 22, verse 15, when he says, I am thirsty. Psalm 22:15 says, my mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Wow. Amazing. As Jesus fulfills the last prophetic word about him while hanging on the cross. And then they give him the drink. And then after he's done drinking, he says, it is finished. And he gave up his spirit. And so the first thing was that Jesus' life had come to an end when he said it is finished. The second thing is that all of the prophecies of his birth, his life, and even his death have come to a conclusion. It's all done, he said. Knowing everything that was going to happen, it's finished right here. The only prophecies that were left to be fulfilled for Jesus was his resurrection that would come in 3 days. Another thing that came to an end when Jesus said, it is finished, was the final payment, the cost to cover sins was paid in full. And that's good news for all of us. When Jesus says, it is finished. It's finished for you and for me and for all time. You know, last week we took communion. And we do that on a regular basis. Each month we set aside time to take communion to remember, right? And to be reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross. We take the bread, we break it. We take the cup, we drink it. And they're emblems of Jesus' broken body and His shed blood. And last week, we sang the song, Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing it and we know it. Because that is the truth. That what Jesus did on the cross takes away the punishment of our sins. And that was done. His death on the cross was the punishment for our sins, and it purchased the redemption for who we are. And what Jesus did on the cross, no priest could ever do through the sacrificial system of sacrificing animals that took away sin from the people. And that was what was happening in the days of, up to the days of Jesus. That we would be atoned, people would be atoned in their sin by the sacrificing of an animal to pay for my sin. And that's what they did. That's what was in the law. But Jesus brought a new covenant, a new way of doing things. And instead of having an animal be the sacrifice to take the penalty of my sin, Jesus did that. It was His broken body and His shed blood. And every time you take communion, you're called to remember that. And in Hebrews chapter 9, the writer of Hebrews, he contrasts what Jesus did on the cross to what the priests did in the act of atoning for sins. And hear the word of this. This is so powerful. Hebrews 9, 24 to 26. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did He enter heaven to offer Himself again and again, the way high priests enter the most holy place every year with blood that is not their own. They sacrifice an animal there. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But He has appeared once and for all, the culmination of the culmination of the ages, to do away with sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is what Jesus did, was covered the cost and He paid the price for all time. The priests made sacrifices every year to atone for the sins of the people. Jesus did this for us. And when Jesus says, it is finished, He meant that the whole sacrificial system that they did, to all my friends that are visiting from Hawaii, He said, pow already. It's done. It is finished. My sacrifice will cover that once and for all time. Praise the Lord. Jesus' sacrifice was enough for all people and for all time. It is finished. And then the next thing, there's one more thing that I want to point out about what Jesus meant when he said, it is finished. That the work necessary for our salvation is done. It is finished. Salvation, our way to heaven, back in Jesus' day, was based on how good you were, Jeff. And Jeff, I think you would have made it. But most of us, probably not. Because the way to salvation was obedience to the law. And there were so many laws, even laws that people didn't know or understand that we were held accountable to. And we could never live up to being perfect in the things that we said and the things that we do. One of the laws was, you should keep the Sabbath holy. So no working and planting on Sabbath day. And if you were congested and you had a loogie and you coughed it up and you spat it on the ground, that was considered work as if you were watering. And you go, how am I going to get to heaven? You know? And it was impossible. But when what Jesus did on the cross for us, was he gave us a new covenant for us to live by. It was impossible for people to obey all the laws. And Jesus, what he did on the cross, he brought a new covenant, no longer based on the obedience to the law, but on the grace of God. He took the burden off of us to live perfect lives because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. And now, our salvation is not about how good you are. It's all about how good God is in his divine grace for us as we seek and follow him with all of our hearts. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, so no one should boast." It's not by what you do. It's about what God did on the cross. And so salvation, the new way of salvation, from when Jesus hung on the cross, he said, it is finished. This old way of being saved is done. There's a new way ahead. And that is one of the things about Jesus saying, it is finished. Because when we finish something, very often, something new begins. Endings create opportunities for new beginnings. And I'll just give you some examples. When today is done, we know that the dawn of a new day is on the horizon, right? With every day that is done, a new day will begin. And it doesn't matter really how good or bad the day was before. We can look forward to a new day. And that's good. Praise God for that. Anybody had a bad day yesterday and was looking forward to today? Today started a little early, didn't it? Some people may be walking into church right about now, thinking, oh man. And that's the same for the week, when the week is done, for the month, when the month is done, and the year. Every ending, not every, but many endings, start with great new beginnings. I'll make it even more personal for you. Fellas, when you get done with a honey-do list, there's a new one right around the corner. We know that, right? It's true. Come on, guys. Back me up on this. Don't let me stand here alone. Give me an amen. You cowards. Oh, When a honeydew list is done, we always get new ones. When things end, there's new things that happen. This happens in sports. When one season gets done, right, the NBA season is finishing up. In a couple of weeks, the playoffs will start, and then the Boston Celtics will win the championship this year. I hear the boos out there. Laker fans, I know you guys. And then what happens? Baseball season starts. And then it takes all summer to get through baseball season. And when that ends, football season starts. And when that ends, we just continuous endings to new beginnings, right? Happens in every area, in the entertainment industry, right? Whenever you go and watch a Fast and Furious movie, when that ends, you know a new one is about to come. What are we on? Fast and Furious 36 or something like that? I don't know. That was funny. We all know that when things end, new beginnings are right around the corner. And this happens for us spiritually as well, too. And this is such good news for us all. Because the end of Jesus' life brought the power of new beginnings. The Apostle Paul captured this so beautifully for us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when he says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here." And through Jesus, we become new creations with new hearts. As Jesus transforms our minds, we become new people, and we are being transformed every single day and every moment of our lives when we allow Jesus to become not just Savior, but the Lord of our lives. Yesterday, if you were here in the sanctuary, right in this space, Kelvin Crosby shared his life, his testimony, with a pile of clay. He began to mold, shape, and fashion this beautiful, this piece of clay into a beautiful work of art. And he began to talk about these principles of being a potter, and how it needs to be centered in the middle of the wheel. And he talked about how his life was not centered in Christ. And if it's not centered in the middle of the wheel, it gets all wonky. And we know how true that is for all of us. And then he began to shape and fashion. And he says, and a potter, when he has his hands on the clay, can mold and fashion it and shape it to the potter's desire. And then Kelvin began to talk about how when he grew up, and if you guys know Kelvin, he's known as the deaf-blind potter. Kelvin was born deaf, and his parents didn't know it right away. But when they found out, they helped him, and yet it impacted his life, because growing up, when you're deaf, you're different. And he felt that difference, and people made fun of him, and he hated it. And Kelvin sat here telling his story, saying, "I tried to take my life 3 times when I was about 9 years old. I think that's what he said. Until the potter got a hold of his life and began to shape and fashion it. Because the potter creates things with purpose. And then he began to put his hand inside the clay, and he said, "You've got to let the potter's hands work inside of you, because that's where all the change happens. Outside, it's good to make it look nice, but right inside here, if you don't get this right, it doesn't work." And he just made these beautiful analogies for shaping clay into his own life, and how he was once a pile of clay. And today he's this beautiful work of art by God. And that's what you and I are. We can have new beginnings with Jesus if we allow him to shape and mold and fashion our lives for His glory. Ladies that went to the district women's conference, you heard the story of Jenny Noriega. I was not there, but my wife came home and told me, "Oh, Gordon, and the story of Jenny Noriega's life." I'm not going to do it any justice. But Jenny grew up on the streets of New Mexico, breaking every law. I heard, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but she was on like the top 10 most wanted list in New Mexico. Was that right? Something like that, right? And just in all kinds of trouble, doing every bad thing you could ever imagine. But when Jesus died on the cross for Jenny Noriega, her life was radically changed. And she allowed the potter's hand to form and fashion her and mold her and make her into someone that comes and shares to other women about how their lives can be changed. Jenny Noriega was a felon in jail. And tempted to do every bad and evil thing that we all know we ought not to do. And was engaged deeply in all of them, with every temptation to do it again and again and again. But the power of God working in a person's life gives all of us the new opportunities to be made new again in Jesus. When Jesus says it is finished, we can end those things in our lives that don't bring glory to God and begin anew with what God has in store for each of us as we live out His plan and His purpose for our lives. We are new creations in Jesus. The old is gone. It is finished. And this new life becomes... this new life becomes of what is finished of, in our lives. The new opportunities that Jesus has in store for us because we are new creations in Him. See, your story and my story is not too different from Kelvin's story through the eyes of Jesus. We're all the same. He has a plan and purpose for Kelvin and for Jenny Noriega and for Gordon Wong. And for Jamie Curtis, and for Drake, and for Shirley, and for all of us today. And looking at Jesus, oh, this is good, as He finishes His life, while hanging on the cross, foreshadows how we move forward. For this whole time, we've been talking about John chapter 19, verse 30, when Jesus says, "It is finished." As we transition over to looking at Luke 23, 46, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." That's His last prayer on earth. You know what I love about Jesus? You guys know what I love about Jesus, right? I love that Jesus never asks us to do anything that He Himself doesn't do first. I say that again and again and again, right? And I give you examples every time, forgiving people. As He's hanging on the cross, one of His last prayers is, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." As He washes His disciples' feet, He now says, "You go and do likewise." But He says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." He loves His neighbor as every difficult and challenging thing that Jesus calls us to do. One of the things that I love about Jesus is He does it first every time, Alana. He does. And here in this prayer, Eric, He prays, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And Jesus does that. What if Jesus' last prayer was our daily prayer? What if every single morning you wake up, you breathe this prayer,
And before you go to bed at night, you breathe the same prayer. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus did it. He left us a beautiful example. May that be the commitment of our lives. In fact, as we finish up today, just so that you can feel the words coming off your tongue, I'm going to say the prayer. And after I'm done, you repeat what I pray. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Now, we're going to do it one more time. Pray it. And this time, mean every single word of it, okay? Don't just say it. But if you can't say it, don't say it. Because this is really our prayer. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. A new life is offered to all who seek Jesus to be renewed. And when Jesus says, it is finished, it means that our lives are only beginning. Whether it's here on earth, or when we're done on earth, we can begin again anew when we get to heaven. Praise God for that. So as we close today, does anybody need a new beginning? Is anybody ready to say, it is finished with my life, the things that I used to do, the places that I used to go, the person that I was? I need a new life. And what Jesus did on the cross was to give us that opportunity to start anew and afresh. Thank God for that. It is finished means the church, we all have the opportunity for a new way forward. And I rejoice in that. And so I invite you to stand as I close this time in prayer. Our worship team is going to come and sing just a repraise of the song they sang a little earlier. And if you would like to pray today, if you would like to ask God to help you begin anew, because what Jesus did on the cross was He made a way for us to start anew when He finished everything up. And we get the chance to begin anew. Bow your heads with me and join me in this prayer. Father, into your hands, we commit our spirit. We pray that, not just with empty words, but we mean every single word of it. And I pray today, Lord God, that there's those today that would like to just spend a moment renewing their relationship with you. Beginning anew. For everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We celebrate that. That we can find that opportunity today on the here at the altars. I'll be in the foyer at the conclusion of the service. Lord, we want the people, we want our hearts to be turned toward you, to be tuned toward you, that your Holy Spirit would work deeply in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you for your prayers on the cross. Thank you for finishing the work so that we can start anew in you. And it is in your name we pray.